Open with you today. Without Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be here. I'm just going to tell you. You live a life. In your life, you slept around. You shot things in your body. You did things that were not good. You did all kinds of junk. Your mouth was a foul mouth, and you wouldn't be here without Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that right now. Jesus Christ is the answer for all of us. He's the answer for a broken world. I want to tell you right now, all you are is a piece that's been broken that He has put back together. That is it. And he is able to use you, and you are not that awesome, but He is awesome. I am not a great guy, but He is awesome and He is great. I am just a broken vessel that He decided to put back together. I want to tell you today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to 2 Joshua or Joshua chapter 2. I've never got a message in my heart that bubbled me up as more as this one. I feel like I am not able to preach this message, but I just asked the Lord to let me see through the eyes of Rahab, and He just messed me up for 10 minutes. As you guys were singing, He messed me up. He let me look through the eyes of a prostitute for 10 minutes. I want to tell you something, and He said, you're nothing less than her. None of us were less than her because we've all lived a broken life. Every one of us have got some things in our life that you are so glad nobody else knows about. That you are so glad that nobody knows about those secrets. That you are so glad that no one knows, but God knows every one of them. Every one of them. But God is so amazing that He will go into places that are so low, and so the downs and outs of places in the low gutter areas of life where you think that some of you might think that you are never be caught there. I want to tell you, you were there. If you know Jesus Christ, you were there at one time in your life. Some of us may still try to live a double life. You may be trying to live a double life, but that doesn't work. You may be here today, but your mind is going somewhere else, because we don't always have to visit the gutter in the life physically. Sometimes we can just visit it there in our minds. Joshua and the people, God's people, were going in. Moses has died and went on to be with the Lord. And we find there's a new leader named Joshua. They are going into the promised land, and he sends two spies into the promised land. And he tells them, I want you to check out the city of Jericho. I want you to go in there, especially Jericho. I want you to check it out. And the Bible says that they encamped in a place of a prostitute. And you think that, wow, why didn't they just go down to the Holiday Inn? Why didn't they go to the Holiday Inn Express? Listen, these guys looked different than them. They were a different people. They wanted to go where different people went. They wanted to hang out and be at a place where they wouldn't be seen so easily. So they chose to pick a place like that. I want to tell you that in this city, that Jericho is a place where everybody kind of looked the same, but every town, every city, every family has a few of those black sheep that are set off to the side that nobody wants to socialize with. Only when they need something, they'll go down there. And so we see that there is this person named Rahab. She is a young prostitute that is in that community. And that's exactly where these two spies went. Not to go in there and have a so-called good time, but they went in there so that they wouldn't be noticed by anyone. But someone does notice them. Somebody from the city notices them. What it tells me is somebody was where they shouldn't have been either. They go run off to the king. So the king had some men that was in some places that they shouldn't have been, but they decided to go in there, and that's the way they lived. And so they went, and they told the king that there is a couple of men that come in to spy. They don't look like us, and they come in to spy in the land. So they begin to, now they begin to rouse up their people. And what we find out here, that God has brought His people, His two men, into a place. I want to tell you something. When you get into a sinner's life, and the people that know Christ, and they get in there, and they don't act like they don't, if they separate, they're just separated. But when they come into clash, and they begin to have conversations with one another, I want to tell you, hope has come into a room. Hope has come into a conversation. Think about the time when someone shared the gospel with you, and you maybe thought that you knew something of God, but you didn't know God, but that other person, they did. Here's the problem. Some of you know Jesus Christ, but you are not sharing how Jesus changed your life. You've done with that. You kind of got caught up in the country club lifestyle of church. You just come to church just to hear a message. You come into church to sing a few songs so you can walk out and feel good. Listen, you've been brought a message into your life that supposedly had changed your life, and you ought to be able to go out there and share that same story with someone else so that when you come up head to head with them, that you got something to say that is worth talking about. That you are not the same person as you used to be. And you can say, listen, I can share a story with you on how God changed my life. Now let me, can I share with how God can change your life? That's their choice if they choose to do it or not. But listen, we're so stuck in our own problems, in our own world, that we've forgotten that we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are wimpy, we are lazy, and we need to get stronger in our walk with the Lord. We need to get stronger and not just be in Bible studies, but we need to get out there and experience what Bible tells us to do. We need to be out there sharing the gospel. We need to be out there looking for opportunities. Lord, give me an opportunity to share the gospel today. Give me an opportunity to share my story. Listen, God will use you if you make yourself accessible. We see here it says, so they left and they came to the house of a woman, a prostitute called Rahab, and they stayed there. This woman's name is Rahab. She is a prostitute. The Bible doesn't poke around it. It just flat out says she sells herself for sex, and she sells her body out. So you got greasy guys coming around, you got big guys, little guys, prominent guys, poor guys, whatever it is, they're doing all that. They're coming in there for a good time, and they give her money. That's what her life is, and it's ugly. And God chose to send his two spies. The two spies went into that house. You see, God's not afraid to go into a prostitute's house. God's not afraid to go into the drug addict's house or the drug dealer's house. He's not afraid to go into the prisons, but we are. We are afraid to go there. But that's exactly where God wants us to go, in the places of those, and to meet the people that live those lifestyles, because we have forgotten where we have come from. We have forgotten where we have been. We have forgotten our past. Now listen, we don't need to gloat on our past, but our past can be a spring to pushes us and lifts us up to where God wants us, and use that story not as a awesome thing that I used to do and glorify in those days. No, you use that to share the gospel and how God has changed your life. So someone had heard that these men were there, saw them, and they went back and reported to the king. Now, there's something that could have been said here, because words pass real quick when you're amongst people who live in the crime, in those areas. Word passes really fast. In verse 4 it says, but the woman, Rahab, had taken the two men and hidden them. Now, there's something about that what she had done. She had hidden them. She hid them knowing that her life now is at risk. She's doing something, and she's going to hide these men. So she said, yes, the men did come to me. So they come to her place, and they're challenging her. But I didn't know where they were from. And at nightfall, when the gate was about to close, and in the big cities, all the gates were always closed at nighttime, and they were opened up in the morning. And so the king sent some men to her house, and she says, I don't know where they're from. And the men went out, and I don't know where they are going. But she said, chase after them quickly, and you can catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof, and she hid them among the stalks and the flax that she had arranged on the roof. And the men pursued them along the road, and they went on out, and they began to try to look for them. And the gate was shut after they had left. So we see Rahab has taken these men, put them off the roof, and kind of hid them under some flocks there. It's probably pretty up there on the roof. So she put her life at risk, and these men put their life at risk, and somehow they are trusting each other for a moment. Doesn't mean they're going to trust each other forever. This is a moment where they're going to trust each other for right now. I don't know you, you don't know me, but we need to trust each other. When you see somebody that uses drugs, do you trust them? Have you ever had a part where you had to trust them? Or would you never be caught with somebody that uses drugs? I'm just asking. You see, we divide ourselves so much. Be cautious that you think you're better than other people. So there was a moment that they're under the flocks, and they're on the roof, and Rahab is down in the bottom on the floor. She's talking. I don't think they can hear her, and they don't hear the conversation. And for you wondering if these two spies are saying, man, we are, if she tells us out, and she just, because she could have just easily done that and told it. She could have been like another prostitute named Delilah, who sold everything out for the money. But she didn't. She kept her mouth shut. She actually took them off and sent them off into a direction where they were not. But there's a conversation that they are going to have before these men take off. It says, before the men fell asleep, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land and the terror that you have fallen on us. And everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you and when you came out of Egypt. And what you did and to the kings and you completely destroyed across the Jordan. I want to tell you that, just real quick here. She knew the stories of the testimonies of when Moses and them were coming out of Egypt. The word got around. She heard those testimonies. Let me tell you, when you share and you live a life that's for Christ, your testimony always goes out before you. But also, if you live a sinful life, your sin goes out before you as well. But here's the key to this piece here. He says, when we heard this, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. But she says, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now what she does is she acknowledges who God is. This woman who is a prostitute acknowledges who God is. That is a very important piece. But see, she just doesn't acknowledge it with her voice. I've seen a lot of people that have lived a rough lifestyle and turn around and say, yeah, I believe in God, but there is no change. Why is there no change? I can tell you exactly two reasons. One, they truly didn't believe in God. Or number two, they didn't even back up with it. They cannot put action to words. You must put action to words for your beliefs to come true. You must put action to words. It can't just be, I want to be good, I want to get my life right, I believe in God. But if you just talk the talk, you're just talking. You're just talking, and you're talking to yourself, and it's not working. She says, I know that you serve the God. I know. So she is testifying and she's claiming that she knows God, that she believes in their God. Even though no one has told her about it, she's just heard stories. Let me tell you, there are people that are living in places today. They're living a rough lifestyle. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They may not know who Christ is, but they've heard of Him. They may not know really who God is, but they've heard of Him. And all it takes is someone to go in there and tell them who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus can do. But we've come to a place where we don't want to get out there and do those things. And it just erupts, it just really gets to me when we just try to figure out how we can keep it in. And I would say this to you, Phil, don't we ever get caught up in some of the junk that's being out there right now for pastors. It's like, how do you grow your church to 200? Hey, how do you grow your church to the next level? Listen, if we are more, we should be more about God's business than the so-called church business. There's too much business in church today and not enough Jesus in church today. And so she claims and she says, I know that you are the God, that God you serve is real. But she says this, give me a sure sign. You see, sometimes people, we need something to say, I don't know you well, but I'm understanding that God, I feel something is different about you. But listen, I want to trust you, but I want to trust you. I do. And I just put my life in danger for you. And they're thinking, well, we just put our lives in danger for you. So there's a little bit of that. And I don't know if I trust you that much, but here it is. You need to give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters. I want to tell you this. How many of you right now would even call out and want to save your brothers and sisters? You could save people in the world. Would you want to list up some of your brothers and sisters? And all who belong to them, and save us from death, because she knows. These men come out to spy the land. They want to take it over. And the man answered, we will give our lives for yours if you do not report our mission. So now they have to trust her. If you don't tell them what's going on about our mission, we will do this. If you don't report our mission, we will show kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us the land. And then what she did, she let them down by a rope. And she let them out because her house was on the edge of the castle down of the town. So she threw a rope out. She put her life on the line. Let me tell you, sometimes lost people are willing to put more on the gamble of it, of life, than those who are believers. Come on now. When's the last time you guys from Fort Wayne, when's the last time you drove down Pontiac or Oxford? It's a pretty rough area. I'm not saying that's where you need to go, but I'm just saying there are things that we don't want to get messy. Rahab acknowledges who God is as she confesses her belief in God. Rahab just demonstrates her belief, not just by words, but by action, by putting it in a plan, in a deal. She puts her life at risk. How are we going to know? How's she going to know? How are they going to know? And when the Israelites come up on this community, how are they going to know that where she lives? Or how are they going to know that this is the place not to attack? Because the spies go back and they talk to Joshua about this deal that they made and how this woman had protected them. And they made a deal that because she didn't turn them over and she didn't turn them in, that her family would be saved from this takeover and this attack. And it was all to this piece here. It says in verse 21, it says, let it be as you say. She replied, and she sent them away. And after they had gone, she tied a scarlet cord to the window. What she did was she put out something there that only they would know. There was a difference between that house and then all the other houses. This was the house that was to be saved. This was the house that was to be protected, not attacked. This was the house that is supposed to be okay. If you step outside, this is what it was. If you step outside this house, then everybody is on their own. Their blood is on their own head, the Bible tells us. But everybody that stayed in that house where she was at was protected. This is what God does when we ask Jesus Christ into our own hearts. When we have a relationship with Him, it is as though there's a scarlet cord that hangs outside our window. We need to toss out that scarlet thread with some conviction in our life and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Here I am. Help me. And we struggle with it because we want to do life our way. Listen, this woman was a prostitute. These men came in. But I'm going to tell you, after this battle happened, she was no longer going to be a prostitute because Israel was not going to have that. I want to tell you, God is willing to go into the ditches and the low places of life in this world to reach those that are lost. It is though that He's even, but the Bible tells us the workers are few. That the harvest is ready. That we need to pray for the workers because there are many people that need to hear the gospel in places that most of us are not willing to go. And some of those places are not into low ditch lines or no low back alleys. Some of them is just where you work at. Where if we can't even just get where we work at and those in our family, then why would God send us to places that He is looking for when we can't even open up the name of Jesus on our own lips in our own areas where we live? God can use a prostitute to do some things. And if He can use a prostitute, why can't we? Did you hear what I just said? It wasn't that she was going to stay a prostitute, but God saw her where she was, and He used her to protect His men. God did not leave this woman as a prostitute. Just as God did not leave you where you were when He introduced Himself to you through someone. That He did not leave you as a drunkard. Amen. That He did not leave you as a disrespectful, unloving husband or a disrespectful, unloving wife. That He did not leave you being a prostitute as yourself or a person who is living a sinful lifestyle as a lost person, but He met you there where you were. He took you as you were. He met you on your own turf. He was willing to come into your area. Do you understand and know that when you read the Gospels of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you only find Jesus pretty much in the temple, basically on the Sabbath. Most of the time He was outside the gates where those who had leprosy were, or down over this area where the people were blind and the misfits were over here. You would find Him on a hillside preaching outside the city. He wasn't looking for the Holiday Inn. He wasn't looking for the big church with the steeple. He was looking for people people that were broken, that were looking for purpose in life. He was looking for people that were at a crossroads, that didn't know how to make godly decisions. He was looking for the lost people. He did. The Bible says He did not come for those who are well or healthy, but those who are sick. And we were all sick one time in our life. And praise God that He met you and that you received it. And then you got the spiritual healing in your life. And this woman, Rahab, is identification that we all have a little bit of Rahab in all of us. And if you say you don't, then you're a hypocrite. Think about it. What some of the things that went across your mind this morning, were they all as clean as a whistle? Nope. Because if you're going to tell me they were, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you it's worse on Sunday mornings than any other time of the week. Because you're preparing yourself to worship God. Pornography is this. I'll just throw a little piece in there. Pornography is looked at more on Sundays than any other day in the week. It's looked at 1 hour before the Sunday morning worship. So don't tell me that you got it all together. Because you don't. Because we need Jesus Christ in our life. Not just the day of salvation, but every day afterwards. Not that you need to get saved every day, but that you start growing up in Jesus and you find out the power of the blood. You find out the power of what the cord really represents. That if you don't have Jesus Christ, you do get taken over and you will have an eternal spiritual loss. But you need a spiritual victory in your life, and that is throwing out the cord saying, God, help me. And I can't figure this thing out called life. I keep screwing it up. Here I am. Don't destroy me, but meet with me. Here I am. Save me. Save me in my life. Save me and my family. Because it's not always just about me. It is about my family. It's about those whom I love. And she wasn't just a prostitute. You see, most of us would say that she's just a prostitute. She's just a prostitute. Book of Hebrews, New Testament, chapter 11, has a great storyline of several characters of God-given faith. One of the few women that is even mentioned in here is Rahab. Could have picked other women, but Rahab is one. By faith, Rahab the prostitute. Does that even sound like it goes in the same sentence, the same verse? By faith, Rahab, the prostitute. You know, sometimes some of us would think that that would be a bad thing to have that afterwards. Kind of sounds like a bad thing, but it also has a redeeming quality about it as well. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. What was it that she is celebrated by her faith? By faith it was. By faith it was. The book of James tells us, and you don't see a lot of characters re-mentioned into the New Testament. You'll see Moses and some of the big ones. But a female like Rahab, again, we see it again in the book of James, chapter 2. And in the same way, because this is talking about your faith and works must come together. Can't just be about your faith and just your words. It's got to be faith in action. It says, and in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute? Again. Does that irk you this morning? Does that kind of nudge you this morning hearing that? And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified? Justified. Listen, you can't justify nothing. You think you can, but you can't. Only God justifies. Amen? Because of where we come from. So wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works? When she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And he uses Rahab as the example. If you understand this story today about Rahab, you'll understand that you can look in the mirror and say that I am a lot like Rahab. I am a lot like Rahab. Some of us may have been a little bit more like the spies in the area that where we've come across on a crossroads where we met somebody that don't look like us and somebody that's living a lifestyle that is different than us. So every time you see someone, listen to me, I want to step on a big toe here. That would be all of us today. Listen, when you see a Muslim, I'm going to tell you, when you see a Muslim, a person that looks different from the Middle Eastern descent, don't you sit there and say, if you feel like you, let me back it up. say this in a nice way. God loves them too. We've got to this place in America where we almost get into a place where we've been to hate people, to dislike people because ISIS or whatever, all the, let me tell you, there are people over there that God is still trying to come to the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. And I understand anger from time to time, but listen, as Christians, we put that aside because I'm telling you, when you pull your skin off, we're just human beings like everybody else. And we see here that even in America, we still feel like we are. Let me tell you, I told you I knew I'd struggle a little bit in some of this. Without God in America, we would fall so fast. We are some of the biggest sinners in the world. There are over 1 million prostitutes in the United States. Over 1 million. You know what it tells me? There's over 1 million ladies out there. They're living a life trying to make ends meet. Let me tell you, they all didn't go into that because of a fun thing. There are over 1 million prostitutes in the United States. And we look at these prostitutes as being bad women. But I want to tell you, they wouldn't be in business if somebody wasn't paying them. Come on now. If somebody wasn't paying them, they wouldn't be in business. But we, prominent white men, just say it the way it is, prominent white men will pay the price for a good time and then turn around and point a finger at that woman and put her down. That's exactly the people that Jesus Christ is running to. He's running to the woman who's selling out herself and her body. She hears about God. She doesn't understand everything, but she's willing to take it, put her life at risk, her family at risk. Because God begins to move, and she's never seen that happen before. There is hope for her for the first time. Because you know what happens to a prostitute when all the pretty things aren't so pretty no more. We all know that the prostitution leads into drug use. It's just like other sins. You live in a sin and you have a sinful part of your life that continues to lead in your life. It'll lead you to one sin, which will lead you to another sin. We're struggling in our, not just in America, we are struggling in our churches. We're struggling in the churches today because we are still missing it across the gander part of the part of us as churches. We are still trying to make the church pretty. Pretty, pretty, pretty. And the church itself is pretty to its point, but here it is. If you really look at the church, it is very ugly. And it's not the part that God's not doing His part. It says that we are not examining our part. We are becoming what the Bible says is whitewashed. We dress or put it all up and we make ourselves look real good, and we'll come into the church and we'll do our things, and then people will want to buy more things into the church. I'm saying this is in church in general. They'll want to do bigger parking lots, bigger places, more lighting, more stage accessories, and all those things, and missing what the gospel is truly all about. There is a part, as we talked about last week, where we need to take care of God's house. But it is this, that the church is not really a place. We have to take care of it, but we need to take care of the true part of the church, which is the people. And we're struggling in America. We're not looking and talking about the topics of prostitution or the sex. We don't talk about those things because, you know what, it's making us edgy because we go into pornography and those things, and some of us are struggling with it because I'm telling you right here, the size of this church, it says one out of every three men struggle with pornography. Now it's beginning to be 1 out of 5 men are, women are struggling in pornography. So ladies, don't think you're out of it either. And here it is. We just get on these cell phones, and you can get anything and everything you want. Doesn't matter flavor, color, size, age. It doesn't matter. You can get it what you want. And we think those cell phones are amazing, and we can't get our eyes off, and we become addicted to those little things. I'm telling you, and they're bringing in sin into our lives, into our families, and we're struggling. American church is a mess. And God shows us here that we can work through some of this stuff if we do it in God's way. And God's willing to meet us where we are. If he is willing to meet a prostitute in the brothel, do you understand that? She wasn't walking out there. She wasn't over here or down on that corner or down on that street. But they came to the house. God was a, he'll meet you where you are. He will meet you where you are if you're willing to have the conversation about him and who he is. Right now, our community in Huntington is not willing to have that conversation per se. Most of our neighbors are not willing to have that conversation. But some of us, it is, we don't want to be like, we're not even willing to be like the spies and actually go out there. So there's a big gap between those who are lost and live that style and those who are saved who are trying to stay away from that lifestyle. We are struggling because we want to do, if we would just get about the Lord's business, we would find our places in awkward places with awkward people, messy places with messy people, but we would see God be doing things. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't just stop in America. There are 1 million prostitutes in America, but there are 14 million in the world. That's the best estimate that they can come up with. That's the best estimate. Aren't you happy God doesn't leave you where you were? God met Rahab in basically a whorehouse. Can I tell you what right now is going on in Indiana, it's America, that nobody's talking about right now? Gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia are at the highest, they are higher now than they've ever been. The antibiotics for gonorrhea were things, just, if you know anything about gonorrhea, it's not a good one. None of them are good. We've not taken personal responsibility. Antibiotics are working, but they're not working like they used to. There is hope, but hope only in Jesus Christ. If you do it Jesus' way, then you don't have sex outside of marriage. Solves the problem. I love it because God doesn't leave us there. When we turn over to Joshua chapter 6, we see a piece here that we see what happens with Rahab. It says, however, in about chapter 25, however, Joshua spared Rahab. Spared Rahab the prostitute. She's always called the prostitute because something is going, it's always called the prostitute. But however, Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, her father's household. Hey, the promise. Anytime God promises, he keeps them. Amen? So the whole household was saved. And all who belonged to her, because she had hid that man Joshua had sent to spy on Jericho. Here we go. And she lives in Israel to this day. You see, when she was in Jericho, ungodly people, she lived like Jericho. Amen? That's what you do. When you're lost, you live the lost lifestyle. But when you come to know the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of God, and she did that part, she's no longer living in Jericho. She's no longer acting like Jericho. She ends up living with Israel. See, God's not good. He'll meet you where you are. No matter where you are, he will meet you with all your junk. But he loves you so much, he will not leave you there. He'll take you with him to his place. And when he takes you there, he's going to set you up and begin to do a change in your lifestyle. And when you look into the book of Matthew, you'll see Rahab in the descent of Jesus Christ and that whole thing, that whole little, that big long genealogy. The change that God can do in a person's life is amazing. There's nothing that can change your life like Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. There is nothing that can change your whole life like God can. The problem is, some of us have had that change. We've went over here and lived that life for a while, but we got bored, we got this, we didn't get involved, we were doing our thing, and we got kind of pulled back into some other areas of that old lifestyle, and we struggle. Listen, God didn't cause that struggle, we did. But God will meet you where you are. God will meet you with all the junk that you have. All the sin and lifestyle that you carry, He will meet you there. But I promise you, He will not leave you there. I promise He will not leave you there. If you are there in the morning, it's because you stayed there in the morning. If you stayed there for 20 years, it's because you chose to stay in that lifestyle for 20 years. And listen, you that are angry with God, you that are upset because you had a couple of twerks, you had a couple of mishaps in your life, listen, it ain't God's fault. We need to take personal responsibility, because us as Americans, we don't like personal responsibility. We don't like commitment. We don't like things when we're told no. We don't like those things. We want it to be all about us, because that's what our society is saying. Get it all. Get on. Let me tell you, I've read somewhat. I can probably get chastised for this if somebody listens to this online. But I want to tell you, the lifestyle that we live in America is more like the satanic Bible than the holy Bible. And how do I know? Because I've read some of it. I want to know what it was about. It's about get your best life now. It's about all about you. You push everybody away. It's me. It's all about me. Push it away. Push it away. Get what you got, because you got one life to live. The Holy Scripture tells us, listen, God gave His life for you. You set your life down. Pick up a better life, because it's eternal life. Rahab chose to let that old life down as a prostitute. Pick up a new life with God. No longer a citizen of Jericho, but a citizen of Israel. No longer am I a citizen of darkness and a citizen of the lost world. But at the age of 12, I picked up citizenship with Jesus Christ. And He gave me citizenship into His kingdom as a believer. And I pray that it's happened for you as well. God loves you. God loves you, but He knows some of the junk that you're doing. He knows some of the places where you are. And if you don't think you can get out of that mess, I'm telling you, that's a straight lie from the pits of hell, from Satan himself, telling you that God can't do it. And that's basically what we're saying, is God can't do it if we feel that God can't take us out of a certain situation. God can get you through it. And He will. And He will. And He will. It's okay to say no. We teach kids in school to say no, and we're still, as adults, still having a problem saying no. No, we can say no. We ask God, God, give me the courage and the strength to say no. It's okay to say no. We need to say no. We need to turn it off. We need to let go. We need to walk away. We need to cut that person out of our life. We need to cut that place out of our life. We need to walk into a different direction. And we follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of God and the guidance of His Holy Scriptures. And that's what we do. Our life becomes changed when we start working for that through our relationship with God. God is here for you. Rahab sits at the window, seeing the enemy coming, Jericho's enemy. Walking around Jericho every day for 6 days, one time. Out saying a word. You know, when you're living in sin, we love to talk a lot. Sin. Going around 6 times, 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, they went around 7 times and they hooped and hollered. The walls came down. They came in and took it. I'm sitting there wondering, the whole city was scared to death. There was one room, one house that had hope. One house had hope. Scarlet, red, rope hanging off of the window. And pain and suffering passed that house. Without getting too deep, can I tell you this? There was another time in Scripture where the angel of death was coming. And it was going to take every male, the oldest male of every family, unless you had the blood of the Lamb across your doorway. I pray today that you got the blood of Jesus across your heart's doorway and the thread of hope on your heart. I know this. I am more blessed than I need to be, than I should be. I have more grace put upon me than I ever thought, or any grace that I ever deserved. But I don't think I'm the only one in this room that can say that. Where would you be without Jesus Christ in your life today? Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you an opportunity this morning that if you'd like to come and you'd like to pray, that is always a good thing.